This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Strong talk, Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for April 13th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Isaiah. How you doing, Isaiah?
How you doing, Taryn? I'm doing well. Just another morning to talk about some Big Brother Canada, and I'm just ready to get started.
Yes, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 45 in the house. And it was relatively slow on strategy, but a big event happening in the morning when the feeds came up. The feeds had been down for quite a while, but they came up right in the middle of Jed, Ty, and Beth explaining to Kiefer why he was going up on the block and being betrayed and backdoored. And oh boy, what a moment here, Isaiah.
Yeah, this has to be probably the most emotional moment since the whole Vic and Tara thing. This was a big doing from Kiefer, but I mean, you know, we'll get into all that. But yeah, it was a big moment, I guess. Yes.
So they're telling him he's going up in the block. Jed says, look, Kiefer, you were playing the middle to perfection. The thing about this is, like, the players always do this where it's like they did it to Vic too, like, you're just too good, we needed to take a shot at you. The thing is that good players don't get shots taken at them. Like, if he was playing the middle to perfection, they wouldn't have known he was playing the middle to perfection. That he got caught because he did not play the middle to perfection, Jed.
I don't even think it's getting caught. I think he almost like self-snitched on himself. Like
right.
When you're telling everybody that you're playing such a perfect game, how you're going to win all stars, how you're just like this magnificent person that's going to win the season, eventually people are going to start believing it. So, I mean, you kind of dug himself into that hole, Taryn.
Yes. And, you know, I say that there are ways to play the middle. I mean, June was the first, you know, big floater, and she did it in a way that was very obvious, but she also did it in a way where they still could not afford to take a shot at her. And clearly the trio does not feel the same way. Kiefer's response is, man, it's just crazy how good my gut feelings are. Like, he still can't help but like pump his own tires here and be like, well, yeah, I did see this. It's crazy how good I am at this game sometimes when I can see this coming. And Ty is like, yeah, like, and like, what are we supposed to do? Like, you get to the final four, you win the Final Four competition, then you win the Final Three competition, you win this game, and we just signed off on it? Like, he laughs, and Kiefer's response is to start crying.
He's just, I don't know, he has to keep it real, you know? Like, he is the player this season, Taryn. He's the mastermind, he's running everything, you know? I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Kiefer is just kind of like building up his own ego and he's just trying to have like a resume to be an All-Stars when he leaves? Or like, I don't know.
This is Kiefer's whole personality, is that he needs confidence. And you'll hear him say this a couple times. I mean, he starts crying. He's, it just sucks. Confidence doesn't get you everywhere. Like, you can tell, right, that, like, somewhere along the line, somewhere along Kiefer's journey, he discovered that if he can fake confidence, if he can portray himself as confident, that people might respect him a little bit more. They might treat him a little bit more equally, and so he just went all in on that road, right? Just confidence can get me to these places. And you know, to all accounts, at least, he has a pretty successful life, you know, in his own sort of world. And you know, that confidence has been able to sort of propel him to those places, right? And so I think that's sort of, he's found success being this confident dude, this very overconfident dude, and in a scenario where it's not like this cutthroat social game that he's playing, it probably finds him more success than not in his real life. But in Big Brother, not the case.
Taryn, do you at least think Kiefer has built up his persona to the point where he will get invited to an All-Stars?
I think it's absolutely possible, especially depending on how this moment is edited. This, I mean, this is likely to be his biggest moment in the game, and it's definitely a big one. It is a very emotional thing that happens as we go through it. And it really, to be fair to Kiefer's, you know, confidence, that confidence allowed him to play this game in a way that many people will not. Many people come into Big Brother and they play scared. And Kiefer played it confidently. He played it. He said, I'm going to win these competitions. He said, I'm going to make these moves. And most people in his position would just not only be too loyal to their alliance, but they would just kind of go with the flow. They would not try to carve their own path in the game. And I think that, like, I can appreciate the level of confidence that Kiefer brought to the game, and that he did try to forge his own path here. He went too far with it. Got too confident. But you know, it's a lot better to watch than somebody who is just like, well, I guess, it's too dangerous to try this, so I'm just going to continue to sit here for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So he says, look, I get it. If you put me up, just send me home. I would never have done this to you guys. I just wish it weren't you that was doing this to me. I'm an idiot. And you can see Kiefer like running through various reactions emotionally to this, where part of him is trying to like say, don't do this. But then another part of him is just like, oh my God, this just hurts so much. And he's distracted by the pain. And he's trying to also deflect from the pain, because again, that kind of confidence, that kind of like, hey, no, I'm still Kiefer in it real. Like, he doesn't want to break down. And so he's trying to do that, and he's trying to do multiple things at once. And so he's result is that he's incoherent here. He said, I'm just an idiot. Like, you're not an idiot. You played so well. And he's like, no, I just wanted to make the Final Four with you guys, Sunsetters. It's like, I mean, Kiefer, the Sunsetters have been dead since week 3. And he's like, yeah, but But at that point it was a four. And Jed's like, yeah, the setters were a six though. The setters haven't been a thing. I mean, look, we've all still been doing the setter signal in the diary room. Don't worry about that. And Kiefer's like, can you still do it for me? And they're like, of course, Kiefer, of course. Like, do you three have a name? Oh, no, definitely not. Don't worry about that, Kiefer. He's like, it just sucks. I'm leaving before like these others, like Brayden, like I worked for you guys and they get to have those memories with you in the finals. Like, like Kiefer, you are a legend. You were the best player this season. He's like, the best player wins, Jed. I'm just a kid from the res, man. He's upset. He ends up leaving. And as soon as Kiefer leaves, Beth walks into the bathroom and she just starts sobbing. Jed and Ty are kind of like doing a handshake, kind of like, we did it. It was tough. But then Jed goes to comfort Beth, who is crying, and after Jed leaves, Ty starts breaking down. Beth comes in and gives Ty a hug, and he just starts sobbing. And Jed's sitting alone, just like crying. It's rough. It's an emotional moment.
I was gonna say it's a hint of guilt trip. But I do think that this is just genuinely like just Kiefer's human side coming out, and just this is just how he is, you know. But I will say it's very impressive to have this type of impact on someone, because I do think this is the first real elimination where an entire group of people, like usually if it was just like Austin or Brayden, like those two crying, that's one thing. But you have multiple people crying here. Like I don't think anyone else has had that type of impact on these people. So you gotta give him that at least. You know, like he did get himself close enough to these individuals that they feel emotionally attached to him. But I will say this is almost interesting that Brayden almost kind of slid himself into this group. And was almost like the replacement Kiefer for them. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, as they're sobbing, the first thing that breaks up their sobbing is Ty saying, Brayden makes me sick. It makes me sick that these people are here and not Kiefer, and we're making this move, but they're going to be here and not him. It's just, it makes me sick that they're just floating along. And Beth is like, yeah.
But they're doing it. You know, it's just like, come on now, like, you know what you're doing now. Like, I don't know, maybe they're trying to fit like the edit or something, but they basically replaced him with Brayden. Like that's what you've done here,
right? Basically, you know, they wish that they were like making a different decision. They wish that they could bring Kiefer to the end, but the decision is to take Kiefer out. But the only reason the decision is to take Kiefer out is because these other players are so weak, that this is the only decision that they could make. And they're mad at those players. They're feeling lots of guilt. They're feeling lots of pain, and they're trying to project that off to, like, it's their fault for being so weak that we had to make this decision.
They have to put some reality into the situation. If they really wanted to avoid doing this, they could stop it. But I mean, it's Big Brother at the end of the day, and it's the right move. Just do it. Like, you know, just do it. It's okay. You're like, I feel like people are so gung-ho on like wanting to be known as like the good guy every season. But sometimes you got to get your hands dirty if you want to win the game. So it's like, just do it. I don't know. I personally just think it's okay to take Kiefer out here. Except for like Ty, obviously, but I mean, it is what it is.
I mean, and it is okay. I think that, you know, it's just they're feeling pain, and it is, mm-hmm. it's a very human reaction to response to pain to try to offload it. Just like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be feeling this. And so they try to come up with ways to offload it. And you know, Ty talks about Brayden, and then talks about like, and you know, he did this to himself. Beth says, you know, and you know, he wouldn't even be here if not for us. And Ty says, yeah, I agree. You know, he wouldn't have been able to make those decisions without us backing him up, essentially. And like, this is particularly rich here from them, as Kiefer very much is the reason they are here and very much not the other way around. But again, it's an emotional moment. And you know, they're trying to, the problem is that they'll probably you have emotional responses to things. You come up with ways to distract yourself from the pain, and then those things become reality to you because they were so important to your salvation from that pain, right? So that's the only issue with these in the moment emotional sort of distractions. But really, I mean, if you think about it, the trio owes everything to Kiefer, much more so than they did Victoria, because Kiefer is the one that beat Austin in the week four HOH. He saved them from, because they would have been on the block if that hadn't happened. He then protected Victoria when they wanted Victoria on the block, went after Kyle and Roe when they wanted to make a deal with Kyle and Roe, completely dismantled the 7-person oddball alliance that was coming for them. They're so proud of the fact that there was a 7-person alliance that was coming for them and that they defeated that alliance. It was all Kiefer who managed to take out Kyle, the centerpiece, and flip Victoria against the rest of them by tricking the rest of them into throwing Victoria under the bus and then exposing those people to Victoria, thus pulling Victoria in so that when she wins the following HOH, that is the invisible HOH, she ends up going after Austin instead of Jed, Ty, or Beth, which she would have after, you know, previous to that Kiefer week. And then he wins again to save them in the double and takes out Roe, the biggest threat to their game left. I mean, he completely dismantled that oddball alliance. The problem is that by doing all that work for a group of people that were never loyal to him, he essentially created the scenario that they're mad at, that there's no more strong players left in the game. If Roe was still here, Kiefer would not be leaving this week. You know, that's the day. You can't play the middle and then take out all of one side.
Exactly.
And then still hope that you'll be in the middle.
I know that he is sort of playing the middle, because in my mind, middle, like he only, the only other real bonds he had on the other side was Tara and Tina. So in my mind, it's like when you want to play the middle, the effective way to do it is you have to take some off on one side and take some off on the other side. Right. And you just got to go back and forth until that they're focusing on each other instead of like you being like the main spotlight. And I think that's where he kind of got tunnel vision, because he was in a sense team sunsetter. And, you know, and other than like TNT, like he was looking out for the sunsetters. You know, it's eventually you got to have an idea of what you're going to do once that opposition is gone. And since he didn't have like that number one on the other side, like at one point it looked like that was going to be Vic. But when Vic went home, like it's like, who are you going to look at to depend on? Because it's a bunch of duos and groups and you're just kind of like a single player at this point. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're completely right. He had his connections with the two sides were, he was with the Sunsetters. He was so Beth, Jed, Ty, and then he was with Tina and Tara with pre-90s on the other side. And he also had Vic on the other side. The problem is that he flipped Vic from one side to the other, which caused an imbalance. And then he was constantly trying to protect the Sunsetter side. He favored one side far too much. And it's such a shame, because it's literally what I said week four. I'm very impressed with this HOH run. He has done a great job of dismantling this other side and weakening them to a point where it could be a more even play. But I was like, I don't like his diary rooms where he says it's too late for me to turn my back on the Sunsetters. I need to be loyal. I was like, that is a bad long-term play. And this has gotten him exactly where he is now. And so here he is. Now, that does not mean And not, you know, just because he brought it on himself, just because he's been mean to Roe or whatever it is. I do not like how he treated Roe, but that does not mean that we can't feel emotion when you see something emotional happen. I don't know why. I do know why. It's the same thing that the trio is doing when Beth says, oh, you know, we are the reason Kiefer is here, that people feel the need to be like, I don't feel emotional about this. Nobody should feel emotional about this. Kiefer did it to himself. You don't need to turn off your emotions. It's okay, guys. It's okay to feel kind of bad. It's okay to feel like, oh, I can empathize with what this might feel like. It's okay. It's a good thing, actually. I promise.
It's like we're not in the house, so we don't know how close these bonds are. Like, to us, this is just a game, and you know, this is entertainment for us. But for these people, they get very attached to these individuals. They become friends of these people. I think even Rohan said on his way out, he was like, I came in this game expecting to be like this emotionless robot, and like, I actually like these people now. You know, when you spend weeks with people, you're going to tend to like care about these people. So, you know, it is what it is, but at the end of the day, like, let's show some empathy, you know. Mm-hmm. That's just on me.
It's astounding to me that that some people feel like yes, turning off my empathy makes me a better person. Like, sure, keep telling yourself that
you are the robot. You should know what it means to be emotionless. All right,
I do know what it means to be emotionless, and it means that you are not as good of a person is what it means. All right. So Kiefer's going to go off and cry with Tina and Tara as well. Beth and Ty, again, they talk about how annoyed they are about Brayden. Ty is also going to then go and cry to Tina, who comforts him a bit about the Kiefer situation. Kiefer is then going to go up on the block, and it is locked in at this point. It's Tina versus Kiefer, and it's very unlikely that Kiefer is going to end up staying here. He doesn't really even have much of a case to make, and nor does he plan to make much of a case.
I'm so confused at this one aspect, because it's like, I don't know if I want to classify Jed's HOH as like a success, because he's putting up two people who now kind of have like some ammo to go against him if they get into power with Tina and Tara. And like, yeah, you're sending Kiefer home, but it's like the two people you put on the block, if they need a reason to put like a second person up and like they want to feed like the pawn stick to someone, they can be like, oh, Jed, you put me on the block as a pawn or something. Or so, you know, it's like, yeah, he's sending Kiefer out, but like Tina, I don't know if keeping Tina here is the best play. Like I don't know. I don't know. What do you think?
For who?
For Jed specifically.
For Jed, I think that this is absolutely the right play. I mean, Kiefer leaving is great. I think that Jed has catapulted into the front runner spot here. We're going to hear Kiefer say later on in the night that that Jed for sure wins against either Ty or Beth. I think especially because he's the one that made this move, I think that's going to be extra true. You know, Jed taking out Tina on his HOH is not exactly the kind of move you want to make when you plan to go to the end with two other people who could have good cases in the end. And taking out Kiefer, who we know, based on my interviews, is the front runner to win right now with the jury, the person they respect the most, I think is definitely the right call here. And, you know, basically all Jed needs to do is survive. And that means that his allies need to win HOH, or he needs to win veto, or the right ally needs to win veto. And with Kiefer not there, it's going to be a lot easier to do that. So, you know, it's definitely risky, but I think that, you know, it's always going to be risky. At the end of the day, you know, Kiefer absolutely could have turned on him next week. And Kiefer mentioned that he probably would have. You know, you have to, once you get to the end game, you just have to make calls. You just have to hope that you win competition sometimes, especially if you're in a position like Jed's where you are not in control of the house, right? You are just basically winning competitions. And so I do think this is the right call for Jed. For Ty, I do not think it's the right call. Not that he has much of a say here, but that's kind of the point, right? Yeah. The point is that he hasn't really had much of a say in the decisions, or at least that's what it appears to be to the rest of the house. And he is, Kiefer is somebody that was not going to gun for Ty, and was, you know, sort of Ty's sort of like backup extra, secret weapon, in the game. And, somebody that if he had gone out another way, or if Ty had been able to use Kiefer as leverage to, you know, further his own position in the game, could have done something else. But now Ty feels very locked into this trio. And unless he's willing to betray them, which I don't think he is, it's starting to look like he's going to have a really hard time winning the game, because the other players may not respect him enough.
You know, I think that's where I was looking at it in Ty's perspective, actually, because it's like at this point, you need to establish something with Brayden, like a final two or something. And then after that, it's like you're going to have to almost be like what Kiefer was doing. Like, you need to bounce between these two duos, because if you take Beth in Jed to the end, one, there's the whole risk of those two taking each other over you. But after that, it's like, even if you do get to that final two spot, it's like, are you going to have a compelling argument against the other two? So it's like, in my mind, he needs to be planning on taking like a Brayden, or like temporarily a Brayden, and then like he needs to go against like the showmance. You know, he needs to go against the showmance, and then eventually, like, I would be looking at Jed eventually, and then I would be looking at Tina eventually, and then you just have Beth and Tara. And I think that Tara would just at that point just be desperate just to be like in something. So it's like, I don't know. He just needs to be willing to like take shots at those two eventually. Like, I know he spoke about it potentially, but like, I don't know if he really means it.
I think that probably his only realistic winning move at this point is cutting Jed to take Beth, or one of, you know, let's say like Tina or Tara or somebody wins the next HOH and manages to get out Beth or Jed. Then maybe he has a chance, depending on where things go. But you know, it's definitely looking kind of grim here for Ty's win equity. But you know, it's still only the final seven, and there's still a lot of game to be played. So he's not out of it yet. But Jed definitely emerging here as our front runner.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
So Kiefer is going to go around basically giving the advice to Tina and Tara, and then later Brayden, we'll talk about that, that the nominations that they should make if they win the HOH should be Jed and Beth. His reasoning is that Ty is not actually loyal. Ty will not use the veto if they put Jed and Beth on the block. Now, this is very wrong, in my opinion. But basically Kiefer feels like because Ty is in a losing position, he is in a spot where he couldn't use the veto if he won. That would be a dumb move for him. He knows he can't win in the end right now, so he has to make a move. And this is where it's looking rough for Ty, because people are already putting him in the spot of like, of basically Kiefer, of like, well, you'd better make some kind of move, or you're not going to win this game.
You know, it was trying to remind me of like Nicole versus like Enzo and Cody. Mm-hmm. It's like you're that number three. You need a. It's good to take blood sometimes, Ty. You got to do it. You got
to
do it.
Yeah. Something else to note is that, and I've talked about some of these conversations, but Tara and Jed have continued to have discussions and conversations with each other. They've kind of bonded. And this is, again, this is more work done in the favor of Jed here. That great jury work, I think, that if Jed does make it to the end, I do think not only has Tara said this guy's going to win, but part of the reason why she said that and part of the reason why I do think she would vote for him is that she has genuinely been bonding with him. They've been talking more and more, not only about game and having honest talks about game, but also just about personal stuff. That is a relationship that is forming. Now, of course, Kiefer is saying that she needs to put Jed up, and I do think that she would put Jed up, but it would not surprise me if she was kind of like, well, I wouldn't mind if like Beth or Ty went home.
It just needs that little push, and I think that they can actually have something established. If she did win HOH theoretically next week, I mean, I don't see her putting anyone else but her, but Jed and Beth up. But I mean, if you're looking for an excuse, like if a veto is won by Jed and then like, he gets taken down, they can find a way to like make that salvageable. Or if they're sitting next to each other, I could see him sort of like paving a way for Beth to leave instead of him. As long as he keeps this up and they just keep bonding and speaking like this, and you never know what happens.
Yeah. Beth talks to the cameras. She says that she does in fact plan to go to the end, the final three with the guys. And she loves Jed. She can't cut him. She won't cut him. That's her plan. She's going to get to the end with the guys. She's worried that people don't see her game and how much she's doing. But that's what she's going to do anyway. I think that's very risky. I think that's, I don't love that call. I think that she needs to cut Jed if she wants to win as of right now. That's essentially what Kiefer's going to say later in the night, that Beth can't win unless she cuts Jed, and takes Ty. And so, this is, not looking great for Beth either. And she also says that she feels like Tina should go before Tara, because that is better for her game. And that is because Tara has been putting in work, not only with Jed, but also with Beth. The campaigning that she was doing earlier in the week has landed. And I think that Beth now feels more comfortable with Tara than Tina. And this is because Tina has sort of gone back to lazy Tina. Tina that is not putting the work in. And it's frustrating because we know that when she does put the work in, she tends to be successful. She's pretty much been successful in most of the things that she's attempted in the game. She just doesn't do it enough.
Yeah, and Tina, I think we've been saying this the entire season, if she really wanted to take a grasp on this game, she would really be running stuff. But she gets in this place of, she just gets way too comfortable and she just goes on autopilot and just like lets the game go away from her hands. And I think she's going to regret that eventually. She needs to really just take control. She needs to start doing stuff because it's not going to be good for her.
Mm-hmm. It really does feel like if she or Tara are not in direct danger, she's just like, we're good.
Yeah.
Which is not the way to play the game. Kiefer and Tina are going to talk a bit. He wants to tell Brayden that he can't trust the trio. Tina is like, sure, like you should tell him that. I'm worried he's going to put me and Tara up. I like never talk game with him. Exactly, Tina. Why haven't you talked game with him? That's a great point. But Kiefer is going to go and talk to Brayden late into the night. It's a very long conversation because they're alone in the bedroom and they're just talking. And so this is there's a lot to this, but it's basically just Kiefer explaining the entirety of his game, including outing the Sunsetters. He tells Braden about the Sunsetters, what happened with it, you know, all the way back to the Josh vote, to the Toya stuff, to knowing about Victoria as the invisible HOH, to helping the Sunsetters flip Victoria, to, you know, to taking out Ro, like all of it, except for Tina. He does not out Tina's position. He does not say that Tina is a Sunsetter.
Yeah, I think a lot of people trust Braden with their information. And honestly, it's
I'm leaving the house. Here's a dump. Yeah, here's an info dump.
Because he's
this is just to be clear here. This is a spite info dump. This is Kiefer trying to plant some seeds, trying to make one last move instead of trying to campaign to keep himself in the game. He feels like that's a losing battle. He is instead trying to make sure that the trio loses to the best of his ability because he is upset with the fact that they betrayed him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he spiteful Kiefer, but I mean, still, I'm not going to take that away from Braden because I mean,
I'm 100% going to take that away from this. Braden did nothing to make this happen. And in this conversation, Braden was like, but are you sure Tara's not coming for me? I was told that she was going to put me on the block. And Kiefer's like, are you kidding? Like, Tara, the person who openly said she was going to put Ty and Jed on the block, if she, you really think she's going to put you on the block, Braden? Like, Braden needed this bad, and I'm still not sure it landed, but hopefully it did.
He does use the same 10 words when he uses, when he's in any strategy conversation too. So, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have no idea what Braden would have done prior to this conversation. It definitely feels like and this lines up with what he said to the cameras, right? He genuinely believed that Tara was going to put him on the block. I have no idea how he could believe that. It's pure, just doesn't make any sense. It's pure doesn't make any sense. That's what it is. I think he just had a whole glass of this doesn't make any sense. And then he was like, yeah, Tara's going to put me up. And, you know, that's very strange. So he talks to Kiefer and he's like, so Tara's not going to put me up? He's like, no. Kiefer tells Braden, this is what you need to do. If you win the HOH, you need to put up Jed and Beth. And Ty will not use the veto. He says that again. He says Ty easily wins sitting next to the other two in the trio. The only way Beth wins is if she cuts Jed. The only way Ty wins is if he gets rid of both of them. And Ty knows that. He says, I've had conversations with Ty where he says he understands that they're a couple and that he can't beat them and that he needs to do other things. And so, in a way, this has been good for Ty in the game because it's helped position him better, but it has not positioned him well for the end game, where if you talk a big game like that and then don't follow through, people are going to be disappointed in you. And Kiefer right now is disappointed in Ty. Kiefer feels like Ty is the one that betrayed him much more than Jed. He feels like Ty is the one that made this happen, and that Jed is a loyal guy. He would have taken Jed to the end, and Ty knew that. And so Ty betrayed Kiefer, and that because Ty betrayed Kiefer, Ty is willing to betray anyone. And so surely Ty will betray the trio as well, because he needs to. He can't beat the trio, just like he couldn't beat Kiefer. And Braden, to his credit here, is like, are you sure? I've always kind of seen them as like together. And this is where Kiefer is drinking a glass of doesn't make any sense. Kiefer's like, no, I'm 100% sure. It's you don't understand. It was never a trio. It was us four. I was one of them. I was in every conversation, in every behind the door celly. That was me in there. I was one of them. And if Ty is willing to betray me, he is willing to betray them as well. And I'm like, Kiefer, this is terrible advice you're giving right now. Ty absolutely would use the veto if he won it at the final six. You are totally wrong.
I mean, you got to remember he's going to go into All-Stars and win too. Don't forget that.
Of course. but again, he says 100% that Jed will win if he makes it there. Although Kiefer will be doing his best to try to prevent the jury from voting for anyone in the trio if he can help it. He thinks that he was unfairly betrayed. And so this is, again, like, Kiefer's just running through all kinds of different backs and forths here in terms of his emotional response. Who knows where he actually ends up standing at the end of the day. But this is basically the advice he's giving to Braden here. And he says, he also says, you know, ideally you throw the HOH to Tara or Tina, right? Which, to be fair, is true, but you, like, don't be putting this in Braden's head when he might have thrown the double eviction HOH and definitely didn't try as hard as he should have in the ball pit one, because he'll end up throwing this thing, and then Beth or Ty's going to win, and then guess what, Kiefer, your whole plan gets ruined. Why are you giving advice like this? He says, yeah, you should. I mean, ideally, you throw that HOH because then you can compete in Final Five HOH and veto, instead of not being able to compete in the Final Five HOH. Who knows at this point. But it's a long conversation, and I do not know exactly what Braden is going to take from it, because we hear very little from Braden in terms of where he actually is. That's where we're at.
I genuinely do think that if he gets to jury, he is going to be bitter, because if we're taking the Rohan and Kyle fight into any context, he was stuck on that for like the entire season. And he seems to be very stuck on things when he doesn't like something. So I think that he's going to remember this, and he's going to carry this for the rest of the game, and he will be that bitter juror. I mean, granted, in this situation, I do think it's okay, because I mean, he did do all their dirty work, and then he's just getting sent home. So, okay, whatever. But yeah, I do see him being a bitter juror.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's basically what we have from yesterday. I think the main thing I'll be looking out for over the next couple of days is, where does Braden lie? If Braden is on board to take a shot at the guys, or the trio at the very least, then it will be 3v2 in the next HOH competition, depending on what it is. That could matter a lot. If he is not on board, then it's 3v2 in the other direction, and Tina and Tara are the two. And that means, I mean, where Braden falls could be the difference between the trio stomping through the rest of this game or the trio having to face some adversity next week, and potentially losing one of their members. So even though Jed is now the front runner, next week is probably the biggest danger left in the game for him and the trio at large, because this shot could be taken if the HOH is won by the wrong person. And honestly, it's more the HOH competition that's going to matter the most, even more so than I think Braden and where he stands. But obviously we can't know what the HOH competition is going to be, so we're focused on where Braden is. Anything else that you wanted to bring up, Isaiah?
No, I do think potentially next week might be a slow week of feeds, but I mean, we're going to see. I do think if Tina or Tara leaves next week, the week after, that's going to be a big moment for Ty, because I think that's the moment where it's like, it's either you're going to take a shot at Beth and Jed, or you're just going to, you know, you're just going to walk to the slaughterhouse. But yeah, you know, slow day, but interesting.
Yes. I do also want to bring up this was also posted on a Reddit. There was a clip of Ty, Jed, and Braden talking about toxic masculinity, and it's just one of the reasons why I think a lot of people love Ty, although certainly Jed and Braden were involved in this conversation as well. Ty was the one who talked about it the most, but kudos to all three of them. I love that we have a cast in this game who are willing to talk about these things. I think that it's a very cool thing. Essentially talking about how, you know, men are not supposed to have emotions. And Brayden talking about the difficulty in sort of interacting with straight men who think that he's always going to want to be flirting with them. All kinds of different things that impact men and the ways that can impact women. It was just nice to hear. I mean, I genuinely don't often hear these kinds of discussions in real life. So to see them on the feeds was really nice.
It's good to see different perspectives. I agree.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we have for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. We'll also be live tonight with the roundtable. We'll talk about the stock watch. We'll rate the players and prices will be updated. I hope you made smart decisions again, because I think some people might be losing some money, but that should be very fun. Make sure you tune in tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern. And then tomorrow night, after the episode, we will be live to recap the Wednesday night episode. Should be a lot of fun. We'll also be Circle coverage tomorrow. The Circle US is going to drop on Netflix tomorrow, and Rob and I will be ready with our episode one recap. So as soon as you watch episode one, you can tune right in to the recap that Rob and I will have for you. And then we'll continue to have Circle coverage. I'll be recording about episode two and three for Thursday and Friday. And then on Saturday, we'll have a live roundtable discussing all four episodes. It'll be very fun. So make sure you tune into The Circle. It is a very, very fun show. If you have not checked it out, we just got through covering the UK version of the show, which is also very fun. But if you haven't checked it out, it's basically a reality show where all of the players are in this like apartment complex. They each have their own individual apartment. They never see or interact with each other during the game. They only interact with text messages, and they have profiles where they can either be themselves or they can catfish as other people. And the really fascinating thing about it is how people play a social strategy game, because they've rank each other and then block each other from the game, evict each other essentially, and then there's a winner at the end. How people interact and play a social strategy game when you can't see somebody face to face and have an in-person interaction, the text communication method is it really changes how things work, and it's very, very interesting. And in the advertising, they've said that this season is much more strategic than the first season, and that there's some very interesting stuff to look forward to. So definitely very, very interested in seeing how this plays out. So make sure you check out our Circle coverage starting tomorrow. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Play some Fall Guys, watch the episodes and all kinds of fun stuff over there. Isaiah, where can people find you?
Find me right here, 8BallBangers, literally the number 8 and then BallBangers. You can also find me on YouTube and Twitch, at the same name, and two, on my podcasting network, Silent Podcast, where I talk about reality TV, anime, Disney Channel original movies now. So, I mean, that's fun. But we just talk about all this fun stuff, and just come and hang out with us.
All right. Well, thank you guys once again for joining us. See you all next time.